Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh man, the childish is really flowing in. Somebody said, arguing which fictional characters or teams are stronger. In college, myself and some of my friends in my dorm put in a good work day, 8 hours on a day, because of course I had no job and nothing to do, yeah. Arguing, or like creating a bracket of superheroes.
Oh, we do that.
And who would win?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we argue for 8 hours. I'm not proud of it.
Yeah.
I just know that that was the thing
that
happened.
And also, okay, would not the 100 gorillas versus whatever, but like.
Oh, those are great too.
But those are great too. But like, would you take a lion, a hippo, or a blah, 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 you know, and this like, and you can argue for hours.
Yeah, 100%.
Like children.
Or like another one I thought of in the break is, you know, just egging on a conversation, you know, mm-hmm. or let's be honest, egging on an argument.
Shout out to Show Hughley.
He's good at it.
He is so good
at
it.
He's very good at it.
That's right. I did hear that. You know, like, let's say I'm kind of getting into it with you, Figgy, but arguing about something. He'll crane his neck and turn his head and look at you like, uh-huh, that's right. Lopez makes a good point. And then turn back, oh, I did hear that too. You know, he's just trying to egg you on.
It's beautiful. And maybe one of the best ones from the 713. Bunny ears on a stranger taking a photo.
Yeah.
That photo bombing, fantastic.
All right, photo bombing is awesome.
Let's go around the NFL where, I got to be honest, sharp change in tone. Incredibly sharp change because we go from childish fun to something that is incredibly, incredibly sad in the world of the National Football League. We learned this morning that Marshawn Kneeland, second-year defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys, has passed away today. We got an announcement from the team letting it be known that the 24-year-old had passed away this morning. They sent their condolences to his girlfriend and his family. Thoughts and prayers, obviously, with his family. His agent also talked about it, described it, quote, as a pain I can hardly put into words. That was earlier. We didn't know what happened. I mean, quite a turn of, 72 hours of sorts. Because you remember Monday Night Football, the Cowboys played and Marshawn Kneeland scored a touchdown, a special teams touchdown on a block kick?
Block kick, yeah.
And now, mere days later, unfortunately, he passed away. Up until maybe about 30 minutes ago to an hour ago, we didn't know as to like what caused this. We just knew all of a sudden that this young man had passed. Well, Frisco PD, which is that suburb north of Dallas that where the Cowboys have their, you know, that star where they have the big, you know, district of stuff with their practice facility where a lot of their players live. They put out a police report without saying any public names, but it seems like it would fit. And the headline is Frisco police investigate a possible suicide. A man was found deceased from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound following an outside agency vehicle pursuit that led to multi-agency search in Frisco. They continued talking about how at 10:39 p.m. yesterday, approximately, Frisco PD responded to assist the DPS officer with locating a vehicle that evaded troopers during a pursuit that entered the city of Frisco. After losing visuals of the vehicle, troopers located it minutes later, crashed out on southbound Dallas Parkway. And initial reports were indicated that a male subject, later identified as 24-year-old Marshawn Kneeland, fled the scene on foot. Officers established a perimeter. And then during the course of the search, officers received information that Kneeland had expressed suicidal ideations. Later on, he was located deceased after what had apparently was apparently a self-inflicted gunshot wound. So clearly an incredibly, incredibly sad turn of events for a young guy. I obviously, just first and foremost, like really, really sad. Want to express that sadness and the thoughts and prayers, obviously, for the organization, all his teammates that I'm sure are going through a really tough time, and clearly his family members, including his girlfriend. I hate to put it this way, but it really is a couple of things that come to mind. And one of those, whenever you have mental health issues in the NFL, clearly the possibility of traumatic head injuries and those things come to the fore. Did that come to mind for you?
That didn't come to mind initially.
What did?
I always go back to what you just referenced a second ago, and I've said it on this show. I've said it multiple times, and I think it's 100% true. You know, everybody has gremlins. Every single house you drive by has gremlins in that house.
Yeah.
Everyone. Every house you drive by has some sort of gremlins, and, you know, obviously mental health. You know, such a big topic right now, and hopefully a good emphasis to always check on people. Always say, you know, check on your loved ones, check on yourself, check on yourself.
Well, sure. And I think that it's a reminder. I have a friend that does media stuff, and his sign off, he always makes sure to say, remember, you never know what anybody's going through. So be kind to everybody.
Yeah.
And like that is something that needs to be underscored in a moment like this is. I mean, that's a dude who you could easily say he's 24 years old. He's playing for a very notorious team.
World on a string.
Just had an incredible big play.
Yeah.
You know, making good money. Just made a great, you know, had a big moment. And you think that he's probably on top of the world. And mere days later, he's no longer with us. So, yeah, whether it's like, hey, check on your friends that are doing poorly. Check on your strong friends. Remember that anybody and everybody, no matter what it looks like from the outside, can be and probably is dealing with some things that you would not imagine. In
there. Yeah. I mean, just incredibly awful.
Yeah. So, and it's really sad that, you know, an interaction there where you imagine, I don't even know if that was fully like a violation or whatever, but interaction there ends up going so incredibly poorly. I don't know what he was feeling in that moment, whether it was fear, but I really do hate that we get there.
It is going to be interesting. You know, he did have an accident, you know, he did hit a car, it seemed like, in the pursuit, you know, so who knows what the details are that are going to come out. I'm sure they will.
Yeah. So just a really sad moment that happens in the NFL there, and wanted to bring it to the fore because clearly this is a big, big thing in the National Football League. All right, we continue on around the NFL where James Gladstone, the Magnificent Gladstone, as he's called around these parts, he's the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he was actually talking about their new acquisition that the Texans will now be charged with keeping tabs on, Jacoby Myers. They acquired him. This week, in fact, just yesterday in a trade, in a trade with the Raiders, James Gladstone, some of the quotes that he had about this were very interesting, talking about the acquisition, saying, quote, we're looking forward to seeing how his skill set fits within the system. He went further to say, I think it does. You think about where we are in terms of volume of drops. What's his superpower? It's not dropping the football, right? So you just have to take it from the surface level. It seems fitting.
I actually kind of like that, you know, because they are a team. Brian Thomas Jr., of course, notoriously.
Is that the shot? That's what I was wondering. Are these shots fired at their own wide receiver?
I don't even think it's a shot. I mean, it's like, you know, Brian Thomas Jr. knows he drops the ball. It's not a surprise. He knows.
Are we're informing him of this?
Speaking of childish things, you can say it. He knows.
You know.
Does he know? Yeah, he knows. He knows he drops the ball. No, I don't even think it's a shot, but it's what they need.
Somebody, and it is
catch the ball.
It is very obvious that's a thing. Both on both sides, Jacoby Myers has dropped all of 11 passes in 98 career games. Never dropped more than 2 passes in an entirety of a season.
Yeah.
Now the Jaguars this season, league high 19 drops on the season thus far. So
they know.
It's clearly there. So yeah, that's interesting. But I, the idea that he said that so cleanly, I was like, huh, is that a shot? You're saying no,
no.
All right, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610, presented by Paramount Plus, streaming November 16th on Paramount Plus. It's the return of Landman from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone. There's Academy Award winner Billy Bob Thornton, who's back, featuring Academy Award nominees, rather, Demi Moore, Andy Garcia, and Sam Elliott. Landman, the new season, streaming November 16th only on Paramount Plus. All right, you found this very interesting. J.J. McCarthy is a quarterback for the Vikings. Had to, you know, tough out a little bit of injuries with him actually getting out there and playing. Played decently well for the circumstance. This is him talking about his alternate persona that he has.
See the intensity that, like, you carry yourself with on the field. Do you go to a different place in your mind, like, on game day?
I feel like I do. Yeah, there's definitely a level of a switch that gets flipped, you know. For me, it's, you know, that I call him nine comes out, and I gotta understand, like, okay, he can't be at his peak performance throughout 3.5 hours, so how do I find little ways, you know, on the sideline, you know, get back to my breath, get back to my visualization that could kind of maintain that intense, you know, competitive stamina throughout the whole game. But yeah, it's just, you know, the pure will, determination to get the job done.
All right, Cowboy. I call him Nine. He's got an alter ego and he talks in third person about it. I
feel like that's something he talked to about with his girlfriend or something.
I don't know about that. But
I didn't know he was talking about football.
He's like, you know, when I need to get to that next level,
I got
to
go.
Nah, come out, baby.
But yeah, that's just human eye roll, right?
You think so?
Yes.
I
call him Nine.
Maybe I've just been so fascinated by the athlete mentality. Mm-hmm. This feels like it falls right in line with some of the things we were just talking about. With Donovan Mitchell getting out there like, hey, some kid talked crazy to me, so I got to go show him up. Yeah. And the ultimate dude who I wonder if he's psychotic, Michael Jordan, in the various different ways that he gets into that mental state. I think this is for him the way that he gets to the competitive level. I think sometimes it is easy for us to forget the absolute competitors mm-hmm. that there are at the highest levels of this, and the need for competition is damn near unhealthy at those levels. And I wonder mm-hmm. if you are someone who's maybe not as inclined toward that naturally, and I'm not saying that, but I'm wondering if that's what's here, if you have to just get yourself into that mind state where you kick it on for those hours that you're playing the football.
I get it, and I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I guess part of it, and I've always liked J.J. McCarthy. I've talked about it on this show, you know, that I think he's going to be good. Don't you have to have a little more on the, you know, pelts on the wall to start, you know, like Shaq could get away with it. Everything was Shaq this, Shaq-tastic, and
Diesel.
Yeah, you know, all that
the
stuff. Yeah, but that's Shaq. You know, he could talk in the third person and he could, you know, do those things. It just hit me the wrong way. You know, Davis Mills, by the way, I'm waiting for him to call himself 10.
I have a feeling that one is not coming. Yeah, maybe this is one of those don't let us know that, but mm-hmm. The question was right there, right? I can't blame. It's not like he brought this out.
The answer was in the barrel.
The question came to him, and I mean, he's been playing competitive. It's not like he just started playing competitive football. Yes, he hasn't had a lot of NFL snaps.
Yeah.
He's been playing competitive football, he knows. And then also, you talk about college football. That's definitely one of those places where those competitive juices start going, especially in Michigan. Your favorite school, Fig?
Mm-hmm.
You got to have
it.
There it is. There it is.
Team up north.
That's what I was. Yeah, but I'm not mad at him for that.
Mm-hmm.
Some other things around the NFL. Drew Brees apparently is joining Fox as an NFL game analyst, and there's a lot of questions as to whether this replaces your man that was out here stabbing folks, Mark Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have opinions of Drew Brees? Because I'm gonna be honest, I was trying to go through the memory banks of myself, and I was like, I don't think I have real large opinions about him as an analyst.
I don't either. He's going to join Adam Amin, according to the report anyway. And we'll see. It did always gets me thinking about some of the players and some of the analysts, you know, that are out there right now and where he might fall. And secondly, is he going to be one of those that is like so into the game and so easy to listen to and analytics without, you know, getting too much into the weeds? Or is he going to be, you know, the Tom Brady, very safe, protect everybody? You know, that's what I'm interested in. He's done it. So, nothing strikes me so far.
Yeah, I'm trying to go back to the, because he had gone and worked with NBC for a little bit. And mm-hmm. I, if I remember correctly, it was a little dicey. But, I mean, he does have, like, understanding of the game. And he's done a little bit more. He's done some studio stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, I think also what's worth noting is he came in off of the heels of, you remember when Tony Romo jumped in here and jumped right into the booth. And I feel like that plan of action has been a bad one, and that led to some bad decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing Jason Witten into the Monday Night Football booth, throwing Breeze into a booth. Even Brady, I think, has been a questionable one. I think with giving him a little more time, he's done some studio. I do wonder if the opportunity to do more TV, find more of that landscape will allow him to come out and bring some of the natural knowledge that he has about playing the position in football more cleanly to the TV.
Is it in him? You know, and that's a very serious thing in that industry, this industry. You know, like J.J. Watt, it's in him to be, you know, very likable and listenable and all that stuff. I don't know about Drew Brees.
Mark Sanchez done in these streets, though, right?
Oh, he's done.
I mean, to be fair, he is facing a felony charge right now. He did plead not guilty to it, as far as that's the case. But the details, at the very least, of it are so absurd, for lack of a better term,
mm-hmm.
that it makes me wonder, especially with this move, if this isn't at the very least just in case, and maybe even more of, we're just going to quietly let that go for Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's definitely done, and we won't be hearing from him anytime real soon.
A couple more things worth noting. We brought you the audio of Panthers running back Rico Dowdle getting that penalty, offering him two pumps. After that, right, the old Key and Peele skit.
I didn't see how much they fined him.
Well, they did, in fact, fine him on top of that penalty.
Yeah.
And you're right. I didn't see what the actual fine was, but he did accrue a fine after that. And apparently, Rico Dowdle said that he started a GoFundMe.
Yeah, I was going to send it all to charity. So good for him.
Which is pretty awesome. But yeah, I feel like. Yeah, probably shouldn't base your thoughts on what's going to fly in the National Football League that has an actual rule book off of a skit. I feel like that's probably the way that should
go. Key and Peele have to donate, right?
I mean,
they have to.
Yeah, probably.
They have to donate.
I would say yes, definitively, if they were still on the air, because like that feels like promo for the show.
Yeah.
It's a while later. I feel like, you know, that's not my responsibility. I feel like they could walk on that. And. Maybe. Can I leave you with this? Did you realize that Jaxon Smith-Njigba, obviously a player that we saw a couple weeks back, he's on pace to do something incredible. He has 948 receiving yards through eight games of the season. That's an average of 118.5 yards a game. Kind of good.
Jeez.
If he keeps that up over 17 games, he'll finish with 2,015 yards, which would be the first 2,000-yard season for a receiver in history.
I did see this. My initial thought was yes or no. I think he could.
Like the way that he plays the game, it feels like it's very evident. And don't forget, they add Rashid Shaheed. Now, I do wonder, does that help or hurt, right? Does Rashid Shaheed, who's a fantastic deep threat for the Seahawks, does that then make it so that some of those deep opportunities are going to him instead of Jaxon Smith-Njigba? Or does that create so much so much trouble with the defense where now that opens up Jaxon Smith-Njigba even more?
Probably going to be yes and no, right?
120 a game is not easy to sustain necessarily. Yeah. And again, you know, I like to call it the car crash sport. Like, do injuries derail
this? Well, yeah, injuries
are
always the qualifier. But let's assume health, or at least largely health. He's going to throw a 200 up there. You know,
without question.
You know, so he'll throw a 200.
There's probably a good 250 still in there for him.
Yeah, so I think he could.
I think he could, and that would pass. Do you know who holds record?
Randy Moss.
Not Randy Moss for most yards in a season. Or actually, the current record is held by a Lion.
Calvin Johnson.
There you go, Calvin Johnson. 1964, 1,964 receiving yards back in 2012.
Good Lord.
He averaged 122 yards a game, because remember, that was a 16-game season.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
God, he was so good. Like, so I just wanted to take a second and be like, you remember Calvin Johnson? He was
Calvin
really good
Johnson,
at football.
Good.
Really good at football. Yes. That is my hot take. Calvin Johnson, really good at football. From the 713, Davis Mills, alter ego is the neck. Thank you for that. Texter, that is Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, it's a Thursday, so we turn to the phone lines to talk to our friend, former NFL pass rusher and current Nigerian brethren, Ndi Kalu. We'll talk about it next.
Current.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see about that. D&M Auto Leasing right now. Let's talk about that new vehicle that you're going to get with D&M Auto Leasing, and you're going to get it at the terms that you want. And I say that with experience. We've gotten our last two vehicles through D&M Auto Leasing. Could not be happier. love visiting with those fine folks up there because they have such passion for what they do, and they're really good at it because it all starts with the Easy Lease phone call, which a lot of people find hard to believe.
All right, you hear a little New Edition. I feel like we know where we're about to go. We go to the phone line, as we do on a Thursday, talk to our guy who is the biggest New Edition fan in all of Houston. His name is Andy Kalu. He joins us weekly. Andy, what's happening, man?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Doing all right. Doing okay. I feel like I could be doing better. QB1 is in the concussion protocol, and the head coach makes it known that he will not play. So Davis Mills is going to be at the helm. I want to go back to this game against the Broncos. I think you know that I like asking a defensive mind what they think about an offense, right, from their perspective. What did you see from Davis Mills when he got into this game from a defender's point of view?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, you know, and I don't want to be negative Nancy over here, but the good part, you know, or the promising aspect when you look at the fact that he probably didn't get many reps throughout the week with the ones, not an excuse, you know, when you're a backup quarterback, which sometimes could be the toughest position on a football team. You have to prepare not knowing when you're going to get in, but there isn't anybody who's going to give you that excuse. Oh, he didn't prepare. I was actually, he didn't get a chance to prepare with the ones. Mm-hmm. When CJ went out, I was cautiously optimistic because my thought process at the time as I was watching the game unfold, this is a guy that's been here 5 years. This is a guy that whether or not he should have been, but he has a lot of experience because he was a starter at one point. So I was hoping for a better showing. I was hoping that this would be a situation where he understands what's in front of him with his offensive line. So he was just going to get the ball out quickly and get positive yards. But when you look at the big picture, the lack of the ability to score a touchdown when he was in, it was pretty disappointing because we've seen other teams have success with the backup quarterback, whether it's San Francisco 49ers or what we're seeing with the Cardinals with Jacoby Brissett. That's why you like to have those experienced backups so they can get you those wins, so they can get you, you know, 3 out of 4 wins or at least go 500. And I just didn't see that in the second half of the Denver game.
You know, I wanted to ask you, especially in lieu of they didn't make any moves on the trade deadline, we're going into week 10. We talk about the offense. We've talked about it with you. Maybe they'll get better here. Maybe they'll get better there. Maybe they can do this. Maybe, maybe, maybe. Are we to the point going into week 10, this is just what the offense is? I mean, do you see any cause for, yeah, maybe they will get better in these regards?
No, no. As far as personnel, I'm 100% with you, John. Like, even during the trade period when you're wondering if any team's going to make a last-second move, you know, for me, there are talks about, oh, a wide receiver or maybe another running back. If you weren't making a move with the offensive line, I wasn't going to be excited about any moves. And I also came to the realization, you know what, teams typically don't give up good offensive linemen. Yeah. So it's not as if they were going to just land some big-time offensive linemen. They would have to give up too much. And you pretty much have to give up whatever you gave up or returned from the Laremy Tunsil deal, and your thought is, well, then why'd you give him up in the first place? So all those, you know, offside penalties, false start penalties, they're not looking as bad as they were a couple years ago, because when it's all said and done, you got to have that talented blindside protector, and right now the Texans don't have that.
We're talking to Andy Kalu here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610, and a really long injury list, or rather practice list when it comes to yesterday after practice, and on that included Denico Autry, Will Anderson Jr., Jalen Petrie, but I wanted to focus more on the defense line, especially because Will Anderson, it was what, a quad? You want to make sure I get that right, John Lopez? Mm-hmm. When it comes to a quad, like, does that at all make you concerned about whether Will Anderson Jr. plays, or is that something that you feel like that's something that'll be fine?
No, no, you never just assume it's going to be fine. And when we hear quad, you think, okay, the rest is going to help and he'll just go out there. But what's one of the characteristics that makes Will Anderson so special? It's his explosiveness. It's his first step. And guess what muscle you're using when you're getting out of that three-point stance to have that explosive first step? It is your quad, more so than your hamstring, more so than any other muscle. So, yes, even if he plays, and him being the type of player that he is, he's going to tough it out. yeah, you wonder. And my eyes are going to be on him to see if there's a noticeable difference with his get off, because, man, that dude is fun to watch. And the way he changes the line of scrimmage, the way he explodes into the offensive lineman, more than likely an offensive tackle, it comes from that quad muscle. It comes from getting out of that 3-point stance and exploding to strike, separate, and shed. So, yeah, that's definitely a concern.
What do you think the vibe is in the Texans locker room right now? They've been close so many times, some only on the scoreboard. You know, they didn't play well, but some they legitimately had a chance to win. What do you think the vibe is? Not just that where they are, but the fact that the team coming in is 5-3, and nobody expected that.
You know what? This is where I may be a little biased, but this is why you get a guy like D'Amico Ryans. You know, the vibe is always going to be great when you're winning. The vibe in the Jacksonville Jaguar locker room is probably riding high. They're 5-3. They just won an overtime game. And if you look at their schedule, they can realistically say to themselves, man, we could win 11 or 12 games from their perspective. But what I like about what I love about D'Amico Ryans and the type of leader he is, even though the team is 3-5, even though they've had a slow start, things aren't going the way that they hoped or expected to, I bet if I was in that locker room, you're still going to see smiles. I bet if I was in that practice field when they turn away the media, you're still going to see guys going all out, and you're still going to see guys practicing with confidence. Look, I don't think there's any player right now going into this game thinking that they're going to lose because Davis Mills is a quarterback, and a lot of that is because of the culture they created. Now they just got to get it done on Sunday when the Jags come to town. But I would still expect to see a positive vibe, John. And here's the thing. Guys like myself, media, fans, you know, we're looking like, oh, man, 3-5. Yeah. They dang near got to win out just to go to the playoffs. I bet at least once or twice a day, somebody is yelling in that locker room, in the meeting room, one game at a time, one day at a time. Now you're to the point where, look, it's all about Thursday's practice, period. Tomorrow is all about Friday's practice. Sunday is all about just that game. It's not about how many games you have to win to get the playoffs. And I think when you have that mentality, you're still excited about showing up to work every day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you keep that energy in that practice? Obviously, I mean, you lean on D'Amico Ryans to set the tone there, but I mean, clearly every NFL player is going to have some rough times in the season, and especially where you're looking at it right now, the 3-5. How do you keep that mentality right on practice as you're getting ready for another game?
Man, that's a good question, but it's just part of being a pro. You know, I wish I could give you some great answer, but here's the thing. Like, at times, you still have to look at the big picture. You know, I was on a team that started 0-7, and I'm not going to say that we're singing or whistling Kumbaya walking into practice every day, but when you look at big picture, like, man, I'm in the NFL. Like, I still have another game where I get to, you know, display my talent on the biggest stage. You know, there's only 32 teams. Less than 0.8% make it to the NFL. And I still have a chance to go out there and play the greatest game, you know, the greatest sport in the history of sports. So there's still, when you look at big picture, this is such a blessing to be in the game. So to be in the NFL. So, you know, guys are still going to be walking around with a pep in their step. Now they just got to get the wins. But yeah, you get up because you're a pro, and this is a privilege to play in this game.
Maybe I'm putting you on the spot here because, you know, obviously you have a life to live. I don't know how much you've watched the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I mentioned they're 5-3, their offense. And I know Trevor Lawrence has been, you know, polarizing, but it seems like they're figuring things out there. What are you seeing with the Jaguars?
No, 100%. I mean, their momentum is where it needs to be. They're figuring things out, like you mentioned. They still have one of the better and underrated running backs in the game. So, you know, I'm seeing a team that, and they've already beat the Texans. So, let's make sure we continue to remember that. So, you know, we're so used to the Jacksonville Jaguars being that team that we say, oh, okay, as a Texan fan, we'll get two wins here. We might split with this team. No, this is a team that's believing. They don't have that one huge star that if you look at their stats, it jumps off the page or you don't see it in the games. But they're just playing good football as a team. And that's scary because you don't know where the big game's going to come from.
Now, ND, as a man who's been in the trenches, I hate to do the thing where I bring what Coach said to you and see if you agree with it. However, I'm exactly going to do that. D'Amico Ryans talked about, the goal line inability to get in there, and he was like, you just kind of need willpower to really shorten up what he said. Is that what you kind of think of when you think of the Texans' inability to get into the end zone from short?
Especially when you talk about those goal line stands. Like, and I feel guilty because as a former defensive lineman, when they were on the wrong end of a goal line stand, as a defensive player, I was like, man, that was awesome. Then I was like, oh, you know, that sucks for the Texans that they couldn't punch it in. But he's 100% right. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, it's D'Amico Ryans. As a D lineman, when you're inside the five, a lot of times you don't even look to the sideline for the play. It's like, just tell me where to line up and I got to beat that dude in front of me, because it's not about running stunts. It's not about, from the defensive point of view, it's not about getting overly creative. It's about changing the line of scrimmage and beating that MF-er in front of me. Like, that's the mentality that you have to have. And guess what? That's the mentality you have to have on the offensive side of the ball, because it's just willpower. It's, hey, we got to get the push. When you're on the 1, 2, 3 yard line, any running back should be able to score, and they should give the ball to the offensive line, because getting that push and having that mentality, and having that dog mentality, that's what it takes to score when you're that close.
Yeah, but Andy, you know, at some point, and I've been saying this week, I mean, what you're saying in theory is 100% correct. We all know that. But at some point, you just don't do it. You can't blow guys off the line of scrimmage. You are getting stuffed. It's happened on, what, 3 or 4 or 5 occasions?
Multiple times.
Yeah, at some point, as an offense, if you can go to the offensive side of the ball, don't you think, we got to change this up, man?
Yeah, but like I said, there aren't any offensive linemen that are saying, hey, I'm
like,
ready.
Just change from you know, dives and sneaks to...
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. I'm sorry. You know, you're right. I mean, that is when you have to get cute. That is when you have to score what we used to call those BS touchdowns, because it's more finesse. It's more finesse than just willpower and aggressiveness. Yeah, if you don't have the personnel, and if they've proven that, hey, we can't get it done with willpower, that's when you got to, you know, do the old, a brain freeze, where you have a running back, you line up as a wildcat. You know, you got to get kind of creative, do wildcat, you know, have that Nick Foles play where your quarterback ends up catching a touchdown. No, I'm 100% in agreement with you, because you're not going to be able to sign or coach guys up to have that willpower to be that type of dog, to be that type of player, to just change the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when certain things aren't working, you got to go to the finesse side of the offensive playbook. Yeah.
Andy, I feel like I'm going to need to, like, at some point give you, like, an award to give out weekly, because it feels like there's some dudes that I even we are not good about making sure to acknowledge. Is there anybody that you feel like has just not been getting enough love on this team to this point?
I haven't, except, of course, when I'm listening to y'all. I haven't really listened or watched to see who's getting the love, but Tommy Togi, I mean, that's the guy
what I was
that
thinking,
just continues. Yeah. My man, yeah, he just always shows up, unsung hero, does the dirty work. And when you look, a lot of times when Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson are flying around the corner and getting the pressure, getting the quarterback hit, getting the sack, if you notice, the quarterback doesn't have a chance to set up a step up to avoid the sack. And there's been 3 or 4 times where I'm like, oh, when I watched the replay, he wasn't able to step up because Tommy Togiai was getting pushed, mm-hmm. and he didn't create a running lane. So he's one guy that I would definitely say he's an unsung hero. I think the other gentleman that I'm going to bring up gets the props, but you can never give Jalen Petrie too many props, right? Because that is a football player, from, you know, covering a tight end, a running back out of the backfield, to playing physical football when he's in the box as a run stopper. I mean, that's a Swiss Army knife, and I just think he's a true football player.
The inaugural Kalu Award goes to Tommy Togia.
There you go.
Very good. Excellent. I love that we were able to do that. Yeah. ND, we always appreciate you giving us some of your time. And I've got a bone to pick with you that I'll wait on for next week.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I got a bone to pick.
Well, at least let me know so I can prepare for it.
I'll see if I send you a text, but I feel like the ambush might be more fun for me personally.
All right, I'll be ready. I'm ready. Unlike the offense on first and goal, I'll be ready.
Wow.
I got the willpower to fight you back.
All right, my man. Have a good one.
Y'all keep up the good work.
There he is, ND Kalu, former NFL defensive end, and our good friend who joins us weekly to talk about these Texans. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about what's popping, including the Rockets doing what needed to be done and adding to their win streak. We'll talk about that and more next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610, and I'd like to begin with your 5-2 Houston Rockets. 5 wins in a row, baby.
How about that?
Never in doubt.
No, it was never.
Never in doubt.
Well, you're talking season or yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yesterday was never in doubt.
Never in doubt. 124-109 victory for your Rockets. I mean, they jumped out quick. It was a 12-point lead after one. Although, to be fair, they allowed Memphis to kind of hang around at a little bit of a distance.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, have you ever had somebody like, tell you to just follow them instead of giving you the directions to where y'all are going?
Then they lose contact, then they gain contact,
and then they get through that one light
Now
you having to try and follow them from a light behind.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it felt like this game was when I was watching.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Like you're close, you see them, and all of a sudden, like, where'd they go? And then you're back close.
And then you're like, oh yeah, there's the car. I see him again. that's what it felt like in this game. And I mean, I think the biggest thing that I took away from this game is, hey, there's Amen Thompson, baby. 28-10.
He's been good.
With 7 assists in this game. A good plus 22 on the box score, if you care at all. Knocked down a 3, so 1 of 3 from deep. I mean, Amen just keeps looking like a fantastic basketball player, even with all the expectations that were heaped upon him after his real glow-up in the middle of last season.
Yeah.
And he's answering the call. Like, he was the leading scorer for your Rockets and in this game, as you anticipate for Amen Thompson.
Yeah, look, he's been incredible. I mean, this is, as the kids like to say, all-star season loading. No doubt about it.
If not
even better than that. And we're, you know, looking all NBA type stuff. That's how good he's been. With the ball, without the ball. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. I like him without the ball, but he's good with it. On the other hand, and this has nothing to do with the Rockets, boy, I couldn't stop watching the car wreck that is the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah,
bad.
You can see kind of, not quite the give up, but some of the give up that's happening over there.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, they are 9 games into the season.
Mm-hmm.
That is,
it's about to be a long season.
They are just barely a tenth of the way.
And that's a new head coach.
That's part of the reason.
I'm glad you said that. I wanted to ask you about
Thomas Yosigas, I believe is
Yosola?
His name.
Sure.
Like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Tomas Yosola, I believe is what it is.
All right, you got it.
But how do you feel about his rotations? Because that's a big topic in Memphis, and I got to see it up close yesterday on TV. Up close on TV.
I was standing right in front of the TV, so I was up close.
Close and personal.
But he goes in like 4-minute intervals with his star players. And his logic behind it, I actually dug in a little bit, well, on my phone as I'm watching. You know, his thing is, I'm qualifying everything today.
That's right.
His thing is,
it's a qualified Tuesday, Thursday, rather.
You know, you play, his theory is, you play your hardest, your best, you give it all for 4 or 5 minutes, rotate in, keep them fresh, keep everybody involved. And I'm thinking the whole time I'm listening to him, that's awesome in college.
I was going to say high school.
I actually think that there is
that's not
something,
an NBA thing, man.
I think it's worth trying in the NBA. I sincerely do. Like, I hear what you're saying.
That's a college thing, man.
It is not something that that NBA players are used to. It's not within the tradition, and that's worth noting. I think that it's worth giving a shot. The big red flag within that, or the big butt within that, shout out to Sir Mix-a-Lot, is buy-in. Did you get buy-in?
Well, that's part of the reason it's good in college.
That is clearly the reason why it's not happening. I think that in the NBA, if you have belief from your team that this is something that would make sense and that works, especially because in the difference between college and NBA, as you're trying to set up, is the agency that players have, the power that they have in the dynamic here, right, where they get to decide what happens. If you lose,
the thing is, it got to work, though.
Well, there's no way to even get a feeling of if it works if nobody buys in. And that's what I'm saying, is you have to give it a shot with buy-in. And the problem is, I don't think he got buy-in, especially from John Morant. John Morant looked like he is about to be gone before they get to the trade deadline.
He was gone, but I think it's more than buy-in, too. I think the difference between high school and college, because you're right, that would work in high school. I think it would work in college, you know, but because 1 through 10 and 11 in college, for the most part, the talent level is closer than 1 through 10 or 11 in the NBA. Because in the NBA, it's 1 through 3. And then it's, you know, maybe 1 through 7. You can't go 9, 10 deep in 3 and 4 and 5-minute intervals in the NBA and still keep the same level of play.
I think there's teams that go 9, 10 deep. I think it's an interesting thought process. And if you were ever going to try something, very early on in the season is one of those times to try, see. And if not, you can pivot. Mm-hmm. I don't blame him for being innovative and attempting it. I think you have to have that buy-in, which he doesn't have, very clearly, and that's where it's all going to fall apart. I think that, though, if you want to have questions, I wouldn't even bring it to Thomas. I'd bring it to the ownership or the general manager. If you knew that, like, they hired him, he was the interim. They hired him within. The hiring of an interim is always, always, always something to be side-eyed because you did not give yourself the opportunity to look and see if anybody else had a different plan or a better plan that might work for you. You just decided, we put this guy as the interim, fine, we can just keep going with this. And now you find yourself in a place where you're locked in, at least for the season, unless you want to go with another interim. And even though they weren't going to be a good team this year with the way that they're made up, you're giving yourself no chance of being a good team, and it looks like you might be pushing out, I guess, your best player, even if he's not supposed to be your star player anymore.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a show in Memphis, so I won't get into it, but that's where I went. But with the Rockets, you know, my thing is, like, you imagine telling Kevin Durant, hey, we're going to play you 4 minutes at a time, and then you're going to sit for 4 or 5 minutes. I don't care about if you're toxic like John Morant or not. It's just a tough ass.
Yeah. You got to be the Washington Wizards or something like that. That ain't got no type of star power or something like that. And maybe you could try that with that.
Mm-hmm.
But you telling John Morant you only playing 4 minutes at a time and all that stuff?
Yeah.
That sound kind of crazy.
Well, for I think John Morant might be one of the chief ones, especially because, like, his game isn't necessarily skill-based. It's athleticism and effort-based. If you get just 4 minutes of John Morant going downhill at your neck,
yeah,
that gets interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no buy-in and it doesn't work. Now, in the course of this game, some things happened. Kevin Durant was trolling Ja's dad,
which was fun
from the sideline, telling him, quote, your son doesn't want to be here. We know it's your last weekend. Enjoy your time. I love this. Another thing about this game is you look up and you go, who are your two highest scorers in this game? It wasn't Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
It was Amen and Alperin. Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Good to see Jabari.
Great to see Jabari back. And one of the things that was also really cool is that Nike Basketball sent a tweet. Now, this is the tweet was actually from... And this was a couple days ago, but it was a tweet was from the Mavs game on a lob to a men where they quote tweeted it, they quote tweeted with, it takes one step for a rocket to take off and land. And a lot of people are thinking, is this a precursor to an Amen Thompson signature shoe?
Oh, yeah. I think it could be. I think it could. So are you going to say it? I was really counting on you saying it so I could eye roll.
I'm not saying what? What am I saying?
NBA Cup starts tomorrow for the Rockets.
NBA Cup does start tomorrow. I was going to say that for tomorrow, but NBA Cup starts tomorrow. I mean, look, if you want to get yourself some hardware before some other hardware, NBA Cup might be a place to do it. A tough road to hoe just in their conference, or in their rather cup group.
Mm-hmm.
But they're looking like they're on a good roll, and they're finding some things. Defense probably still needs to be better, but I don't think that was going to be the game to test it necessarily. Some other things that are popping in the world of sports, quickly go through this. You realize ESPN Bet is no more. ESPN and the gaming company that was the purveyors of ESPN Bet Penn, they are ending their deal early. I believe December 1st is when it officially goes. Penn is actually paying out. They're paying Disney for the to end this, but they are keeping the information of the 3 million plus subscribers I guess people who had signed up or what have you for it. But do you have any belief that this has anything to do with the gambling scandals that are happening around the NBA and elsewhere in sports?
You just are inclined to think somehow yes, but then ESPN has a partnership with DraftKings still.
Well, they're building it, obviously, if they no longer – because the thing about it is ESPN is still going to have odds on their games and stuff, and so in order to have those, you have to have a partner. No longer will it be their own their partnership with Penn that has their branding with ESPN Bet now.
Just a little separation, maybe.
Yeah, I think that probably get your name a little bit further away from all this betting.
They're just an advertiser. You know, they're just partner.
It looked atrocious for them when you're talking about all this. Remember you remember the visual of Get Up on TV?
And they had the
they're talking about the breaking news of Chauncey Billups being hemmed up and Terry Rozier, and then on the bottom ESPN Bet.
And they took it down. They took down the graphic in the middle of the conversation.
Yeah, I mean it's not a great look, but I do find it interesting. It's possible that this has nothing to do with it, because it is worth noting. Penn Gaming is the company that also had worked with Barstool, that had bought Barstool.
No.
So this is not yet another one of their attempts at utilizing a brand to help their company go over, and it doesn't necessarily. So I don't know. I don't know if what is involved there, but it does. The timing feels odd after as this gambling kind of investigation and talk blows up at ESPN's like, hey, yeah, I'm going to step away from that. And then also shout out to the Texans, Cal and Hannah McNair. There was news earlier today that they are going to buy into the ownership of LOVB, which is a volleyball league here in the United States, and they will buy the Houston team.
Yeah, and bringing it to Houston. And you know what? Shout out to Hannah McNair. I mean, she is quite the advocate for youth sports, women's sports. You know, we've seen she's quite the advocate, the face, so to speak, from a Texans perspective of, the flag football, you know, and the impetus that they're having there, the push they're having there. And now the same for volleyball, because it's not just professional league, it's also some youth stuff as well. So she's been really good for the women and youth in sports.
Yeah, it's one of those leagues. It's League One Volleyball, which LOVB, and that's where that comes from. It's one of a couple, I believe, of volleyball leagues.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things with any of these sports that's a little bit more on the periphery, think like even Major League Rugby, right, is you wonder if they're going to have the support to kind of run it out.
Well, they have the machine.
This gives them that stability.
Yeah, they have the machine.
I'll also be interested to see what kind of synergy happens between the Texans
mm-hmm.
and them. A couple of numbers, mind you, when it comes to ESPN and the Penn Entertainment deal that fell apart, that partnership, it was a 10-year, $2 billion deal that they signed in 2023. Yikes. And they're already terminating it.
Yeah, you know what? Never mind.
$38 million being paid to Disney to close this out.
Yikes.
Wild stuff. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go get on the phone line one more time. Does this count as going behind enemy lines? I think we're going to get a little bit of insight, but
yes and no.
A little bit yes and no. We'll see what we can talk about with the Jags, but we'll also just talk a little bit of NFL with CBS Sports' Pete Prisco. We talk to Pete next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.